Welcome to Just Wanna Quilt, a research podcast coming out of Tulane University Law School, where we explore all kinds of things, stories about quilting, tools, field trips, maybe some famous quilters stop by, and of course, a little bit of copyright thrown in just for fun. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Townsend Guard. I'm a law professor, and I just wanna quilt. So this is actually our second conversation with Jill Rapp. She is from June Taylor, and she sent us a box of all kinds of amazing things for our research, and this is our first follow-up on that amazing box. I think is really interesting about this interview is Jill shares not only stories about the successes of certain products, but also when they haven't succeeded. She is a true quilt entrepreneur. Okay, awesome. All right, cool. Well, hi, thanks for joining us again. I'm totally psyched to chat with you.
Good, me too.
Okay, so you sent a gargantuan box that was the most awesome thing that has arrived so far. It was amazing. So we took a little video of it. We posted it, but it's super great. So I thought what we'd do, if we'll just take a short time. But one of the things I wanted to propose is first I wanted to chat about some of the things in the box that we've experienced so far. And then also you had mentioned talking about the new cutting machine that you guys have in the shops, right?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. And then if you're cool with this, Jill, I think it'd be really fun to just keep experiencing more of your products and talking about them and have it as one of the things we do on the podcast. Because you have so many interesting things.
Okay.
Does that sound fun?
It sounds good, and I hope they put a catalog in, or you went online, because there's over 250 products, so I just took a little sampling, but we have, you know, so many more that we've designed to make quick work out of this wonderful hobby, so hopefully I've sent you some good ones, and we'll send you more as we continue on.
That sounds great. That sounds super great. So what we're going to talk about today, if you're cool with it, is the quilt as you go, because I made one. I made the big quilt, which was so much fun. Pintastic, the cutting board, and then the big machine for the shop. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, did I link you to that video of the fabric cutting kiosk?
No, I don't think so. So why don't we hold off? We can tell us a little bit about it, and then we'll look at the video and talk more. So I'm really interested to see how it works.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All right. So quilts as you go. So it's like paper piecing, but with your batting. And so you sent us a bunch of them to do, and others are doing some of them, and I'm going to do more of them. But what I decided to tackle it's like a lap size quilt. And it said, I think it said something like 14, what did it say, 14, you sew 14 lines and you're done, right? So I was like, okay, I'm up for the challenge. So it was fun and super awesome, and I think what was interesting about it is it kind of changed my thought about what quilting was. So I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the background of Quilt As You Go and how it started.
Okay, the background is this. I truly believe that every quilter has some big project going at all times. And I think that's wonderful. But I also think there's times in our busy lives, particularly if we are working women, where you just want to take a break from that big project and do something quick and easy, because the sense of accomplishment of start to finish is very great. And, you know, some of those little small projects, I think I might have sent you the mug mats or maybe the bibs. I really don't even know what we all sent you.
Yeah, so,
but,
yeah. Sorry.
And so my thought was to give the quilter a little breather and to say, wait, I can work on something after work, get it done in an hour, and feel like I've really accomplished something, and I can keep this or give it as a gift. And that's kind of where the whole thing started, is I kept thinking about, well, how can we do this? Like paint by number. You always got a good end result. You weren't intimidated by it. It helps us to even get beginners involved in quilting because it's following a number and it's not intimidating. So to me, the appeal was great for the beginners. And then as far as the experienced quilters that have a big project going, they had just a little breather in their day of doing something really quick and easy.
Yeah, it felt that way.
What we found out, we started, you know, showing these videos, is that on the little tiny projects like the bibs and the mug mats, people that were beginners would quilt as you go, finish them, and be done. But on the bigger things like the quilts, like what you made, our more advanced quilters would complete the 14 seams, and then they would do additional quilting and kind of practice on their free motion. You know, you did one that I think is called, I'm thinking it might be called sophisticated strips. Yeah. It was something we did in either cottons or plush velour. And so it kind of gave them, okay, I can do this really fast, or I can use this little project to develop my machine quilting skills if they wanted to add more quilting. The other thing at the time we developed this is that the business environment was not very good, and I wanted to design something that was scrap happy so they could say, oh, I just need this. I can dig into my scraps, and I can make a completed project without spending a lot of money on fabric. The pendulum has swung a little bit in the other direction. I think fabric sales are going back up again. But, you know, there's a time when everybody was a little bit more conservative on spending, and this was a good way to get them to stay with their hobby and not spend a ton of money.
That's really great. Well, from the experience side of it, I really love paper piecing. And so this was paper piecing but with the batting. And so, you know, I kept thinking, and so that was super fun. And so it is like paint by number, but it's like paper piecing because you're just sewing on the lines. You're putting the fabric a certain way. So it was super interesting. One of the things I found super interesting is that on the one I had, you sewed it a half an inch instead of a quarter inch. I'm curious. I haven't looked at the other ones yet. Let me take a look at the one that I have right here.
All but the other ones are a quarter of an inch.
Yeah. So
the reason we did that with that quilt is because we had so many people using plush velour.
Ah.
And a quarter inch seam allowance on, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not supposed to say trade names, but do you know what I'm talking about when I say plush velour? Can I say a trade name on this call?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, so this is a good lesson. Yeah, nominative use. So you can name stuff without, and that's totally legal. So you can name anything.
Okay, so tons of people are sewing with something called Minky or Cuddle.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what those things are?
No, I don't. But I've heard Minky. I just haven't experienced
it. You can imagine the most luscious plush fleece.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for baby things and little kids. It's just, it's wonderful material to put on the reverse side of a throw. It's just luscious and it's very plush. Well, that fabric is amazing for simple quilts as well, but it doesn't hold up well if you use a quarter inch seam allowance. You have to use a half inch. So we felt like, well, if you're using cottons, it's not going to kill you to do a half inch.
Right.
And if you're using plush velour, you're going to get a great result.
Interesting.
And the whole premise behind what we do here is we want our quilters to have a great finished result so that they want more and they want to keep quilting and enjoy the hobby.
Well, because I'm such a dork, I was like, I don't even know what a half an inch. I always sew with quarter inch. So I just decided that I would do the quarter inch and then do another quarter inch. So the back has the double seam. So I did 28 instead of 14. But it looks so pretty. Like, I just love the look of it that I don't even want to sew. I don't want to quilt anymore because it's got this really pretty design of the double seams on the back. So that's what I decided to
do. Well, we just should market that then. That was a great idea. Thank you.
It's just really pretty. I'll send you a picture of it. It just, you know, when it was finished, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to quilt it now. I was like, no, like, it's too pretty. Like, I like the way it looks with the double seams. So I'll send you what I did out of ridiculousness because I couldn't figure out. I just was like too tired and didn't want to figure out half an inch on this, in the machine. So,
Okay.
The other thing about it, so from my experience, was it sort of made me think about quilting differently. So the idea that you start with putting the back down and then the batting and then the piecing, was really interesting, and I'm curious what your thoughts about that are, because it started making me think about, well, why are we always doing it this one direction, you know? And the opposite direction was really fascinating to me.
Well, we have this wonderful quilt basting spray, and what I'll be full disclosure here. I'll tell you really how this all started. We sell fusible batting at June Taylor. We make a batting that's fusible. So that means you heat up your iron and you put the batting in between your pieced top and back, and you press it with an iron, and it basically secures all three layers. And then you do your quilting. And what the beauty of that product is that as you're doing your quilting, there's no pins in the way or tacks or however you secure your three layers. We eliminated that with our fusible batting.
Okay, continue. Sorry. I was going to say, I use the spray, but I haven't used the batting yet.
You use what?
I've used your spray. I use it all the time, but I haven't tried the fusible batting yet. But the spray is incredible, right?
The fusible batting is really cool, but it's expensive. So we can only get it to be bought if it's on polyester, because polyester is such a less expensive base to work with. And so we have fusible batting out of polyester. I am not a fan of polyester batting. I like cotton batting. But I loved the fact that we could do just fuse the back on and get going. And so we started out Quilt As You Go on polyester batting. That's how we initially started it. And we were just pressing the backing on and then, you know, throw the top on, and it was super easy. Then when I said, I love this concept of Quilt As You Go, but I want in cotton, I had to find a way to secure the backing. So our quilt basting spray worked perfectly, and it was fast. And, you know, then the quilter gets to the fun part a little bit sooner than later by using this. So the whole thing was a speed. That's, you know, speed and options for quickly getting that back on so they could get to the fun part.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about the psychology of, like, I hate putting the back on, right? That's like the worst part for me. But I wasn't really thinking about it. I was still excited at the beginning of the project when I put the back on and then I sewed it. And then it hadn't really dawned on me till I finished the project that I didn't have to put the back on. So I was like, oh, wait, I did that first. So it's really funny to me. Psychologically.
And people, they're like, oh, wait a minute, it's quilted now. You know, it doesn't dawn on them that they're completing three steps at one time.
And
then once they do it, enjoy it, they want to do more.
I totally want to do more. So I'm going to do everything you said and hopefully more things with you. So the thing that I found is, like, you say that it is really strange psychologically, because you kind of, it's like paper piecing. You kind of forget that you have the back. So when you finish, you're like, oh, wait, I'm finished. I mean, it's really strange. But it was fun. So I really did enjoy it. So, and I was doing a countdown with my family. So we, because I told them it was only supposed to take 14. I mean, even though I had doubled it, it was only 14. So we were doing a countdown of, like, how many more to go. So it was very, very fun. All right, so that was cool. Then we also looked at...
And I joined June Taylor 24 years ago.
Yeah.
June had passed on a month prior, and I was reading her...
Hold on, I think we lost you.
...book that she had written. She always used professionally finished results, and I have continued to use that. And so if we give our quilters shortcuts, and we give them easier ways to do things, but you still get professionally finished results, then I'm good. Then I'm happy. That's a good product.
Yeah. It's funny because I was, I don't know if I'm going to, but there's a local quilt show, and I was like, okay, well, which one should I enter? And one of the ones was the quilt I just finished with you, the one yours. And I was like, and they were like, oh, we really like this one. I'm like, well, it's Quilt As You Go. You could kind of see, they were like, oh, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, really? And so it was really great because it was like, you don't know, right? You can't, once it's finished, you have no idea how I made this, and it shouldn't matter. So so I thought that was quite lovely. Yeah, they liked it a lot.
You don't have to tell your secrets.
No, Keep them, right. Exactly. Let's keep them, keep all the secrets. All right, Pintastic. So we did it as a family. We got it together. So when you first sent it to me, I thought, oh, I don't know. This seems ridiculous. But then we had a kitten in the house. And the kitten kept knocking over all the pins, taking the pins. I'd find a pin in the kitten's mouth. It was out of control. So I'm like,
oh, boy.
I know, because it was under 8 weeks. It was a really tiny kitten. So it was freaking me out. So we got the Pintastic out. We put all the pins in there. And I think I really like it a lot because at least if you have like kids or kittens or other things that are going to get into the pins, this is really great because they can't. They cannot get into it. And then it's really convenient to be able to have them. So that's my plug for this because we weren't told – I was not sure about it. And then I wanted to know, how did you come up with the idea for Pintastic? And it's also got – is it patent pending or has it got patent – you've done some intellectual property work on it.
Yes. Pintastic came to me when I was pulling a tissue out of a tissue box. And you know how another one pops up?
Yep.
When you pull a tissue out? That was the – I kept thinking, is there a way we can do this with pins? There's a lot of ladies in our industry who have those long fingernails that are acrylic or – I don't know what they are. But they're long and they are hard and they have a hard time grasping pins. We also have a lot of ladies in our industry who have cut the tips of their fingers or the pads of their fingers with a rotary cutter.
Oh.
And so they have little filling in the pads of their fingers.
Oh my God.
So my idea was, what if we found a really easy way for them to grasp a pin due to arthritis, due to their pads being low feeling, due to their fingernails? And that's how we started the process. The idea of how the barrel spins and against the pins came from my husband, who is by education a mechanical engineer.
Very cool.
But when we actually took it to the designers, it got really big, and I don't like the size of it. It's not expensive. It's just big.
Yeah.
So it's not been a success for us by any stretch of the imagination.
And does it have to be? It is big. If you could sort of strategize of where to put it. But is there a way to make it smaller, or is it because of that it has the motor in it that it or the size of the pins? What makes it big?
It has to have a barrel to spin to. Eventually what it does is it vibrates the weight of the head to one end so it can feed it down the channel.
Interesting.
Yes, it has to be that big.
Interesting.
And probably not interested in investing any more money to make a smaller version because I still got a lot of these to sell.
Well,
I had to make it in China because it was expensive.
Interesting. So do you feel like as an inventor and entrepreneur, you sort of some work, some don't?
Yes, I feel that way. But I will say, you know, I've been here 24 years, and I think I've developed well over almost 200 products.
Amazing.
Most of them haven't been that technically difficult or that much of an investment. And so we have more successes than we do failures.
That's really interesting. But for those out there, other entrepreneurs, quilt entrepreneurs, that's just part of the process, right? That do you feel like it's the success or failure is based on what? Do you know when it's going to succeed, or is it a surprise when it fails? Like, do you get it? Have you learned? Do you learn?
Okay. Well, I should be able to call it pretty well, right? I should know this. I've done it 24 years. I can tell after the first 2 hours that Quilt Market opens if a product is going to succeed or not, if it's going to be a runaway or not. I can tell in 2 hours.
But it's Quilt Market.
Do you think
really
that I thought for 1 minute those little mug mats would sell? No. And we can't print enough of them.
Really?
So sometimes the t-shirt quilting program.
Yeah.
I thought, don't know. Can't make enough of those rollers.
Really? You sent one of those. My daughter and I are going to try it.
I think I know, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Are you there still? So, are you there? Oh, hold on. You've disappeared.
Well. Yeah. Wanted to go off to college with a little bit of his high school past with him, and he did, with a beautiful t-shirt quilt that represented all his sports in high school, and it was the one thing you can really get men interested in quilting if they are not so much interested in it.
That's really interesting, the t-shirt quilts. Yeah, it does seem to cross over to people who aren't quilters that or may not even like quilts, but then they see the t-shirt quilts and think, oh, I want one of those, which is really interesting.
And you know, we've also had people that call us and they've bought the ruler and they have t-shirts and they want to just put it onto fleece and use a simpler process of fleece and versus sewing something very difficult. It doesn't matter. You know, the ruler's there to help you get the sizing right, mm-hmm. and to give you different orientations on your motif. And that interfacing, I'll tell you, there's nothing like it because everybody's t-shirt quilts have some good t-shirts in and some not so good t-shirts in. So if you can stabilize all your t-shirts to have the same good feel to them with that backing on, you could sew it together like it's a high quality cotton and it gets you such a great result.
It's really cool. We haven't tried it. I can't wait. So we'll have to chat more once we do that. The other thing you sent, I forgot, was the ruler where you put it down and you have the zero and then you count off and it has the slats. That ruler?
You know what I'm talking about?
Cut. Yeah. I think
okay,
so.
That's our number one selling product. And that came from me trying to use a ruler, a 6x24, and I got pretty good. And then I'd get up to the top, and I'm a lefty, by the way. And I would, I'm a lefty, and of course, when you're taught to rotary cut, everyone's right-handed. And I would always, my 24-inch ruler at the very top, I would always I'd have a little slipping problem.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I have a strong math background, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. What if you didn't, you know, what if we approach this a different way? And you leave the ruler intact and just cut the strips within the slot.
Yeah.
And then once the strips were cut, we figured out how to turn it and make squares, and then turn it again and make triangles, and then make diamonds with it, and then take those and make hexagons. And pretty soon we had this ruler that cuts virtually everything in quilting. And it's still probably our number one selling product. And still, even though you can do a million things with it, most people only use it for strips and squares. They don't even know how to cut all the other shapes.
Amazing.
It's our number one watched YouTube video.
Really?
And it's a workhorse.
That's really cool. Well, I've used it for strips, but now I'm going to try and do the other shapes because I think that would be really interesting to see. You also sent us the board that's cutting on one side and pressing on the other. And you tell us more about the philosophy behind that product.
The cut and press was the last product June developed before she passed away. And June was a specialist in pressing. That was her forte, clothing and pressing. She took her love of pressing and her desire to teach everyone that if you pressed correctly, everything would look better. And she said, let's apply that to quilting. Because when people started quilting, they were pressing seams open. They were pressing with steam. And June said, I'm going to make this very convenient so that you cut on one side, you flip it over, and you have a grid and square as you press. The reason for the handle came because in order to get the patent, she had to have a rule system across the handle. It was not a patentable product with just a grid and measurements on because, of course, there's nothing unique about having a grid and a rule marking. So the patentability came in having the rule marking on the handle, on the mat side. The product was developed by June mainly for people to have convenience, to be able to take something to their classes and guild meetings, and to be able to square as you press.
It's very cool. So, and the mat is different. Tell me a little bit more about the surface of the mat.
Okay. Also developed by June. I cannot take credit for that. When she researched mats. Everybody was talking about the concept of self-healing. Ulfa mat is self-healing. When I cut it, it comes back together. So the two things that June thought of is, why are you cutting the mat? Why even cut the mat? The mat cutting is just dulling your blade.
Yeah.
So she went to work with a sports physician and said, this repetitive motion on your wrist is very difficult. And as people's blades dull, they push harder on their rotary cutter. And as a result of that, they cut their mat. And we educate the world on this one true fact is when you cut your mat, say you have a soft surface mat like an Ulfa mat or any of the other ones, it really doesn't go back. It doesn't heal like your skin. The cut is still there. It's just the polyurethane product kind of does come back together, but the cut's always there. And it's kind of a really interesting question that in a journey, the cut doesn't heal like your body. Anyway, June said, I can't deal with any of this. I got to change the process. Why not just cut the fabric? So the surface that she invented was a hard surface mat that had a little texture to it. The texture helps hold the fabric in place so it's not so slippery. The hard surface keeps your rotary cutting blade gliding on the surface, not cutting into the mat. The other benefits of having a hard surface mat, we're a Wisconsin-based company. If you leave your rotary cutting mat in the cold, cold weather, it won't warp. If you live in Arizona and it's 107 degrees in your car, it won't warp from the heat.
That's great.
So it doesn't warp, it doesn't crack, it doesn't smell bad, like some polyurethane mats smell bad because of the oils in the plastic. So she completely changed to a hard surface mat. We are the only company that has a hard surface mat. And if I had the opportunity to give everybody the explanation I just gave you, we would probably be much more successful with it. But like Scotch tape and Kleenex, people think Ulfa and that type of mat is the one to buy. We have our mats in one chain. They're in Hobby Lobby, and they do very well.
Interesting.
But most people have been taught on a soft surface mat, and they think self-healing means it heals like a wound.
Do you is there a different strategy on using your mat versus the self-healing mat? Is there anything that you do differently to cut on your mat?
Yes. We tell people this. Let's start at a clean slate. Take a new blade, put it in your cutter, cut on a June Taylor mat, and cut on a soft surface mat. You will not have to push down as hard on the blade.
No, you don't. It glides.
The whole idea is that you're not exhausting your wrist so much.
Yeah.
But that's a really hard concept because people are used to pushing down really hard.
Yeah.
And so they have to learn to cut a little more gingerly, with less pressure.
And is it slippery? Is there any issue of like how you put the fabric, or is there anything different that you do versus the other mat? Is there any strategy, or is it all the same?
No, we just, you know, the nature of the material of soft surface mats kind of holds that fabric in place.
Yeah.
Ours has the grittier feel, so that kind of holds it in place.
Yeah.
So we needed to, it smooth would not be good. Smooth would be slippery.
Yeah.
That's why it has that little gritty texture to it.
Stuff. Got it. Cool. Well, Jill, this is super great. I think that we're at the half hour mark. I think we should do this more because I'm learning a lot and it's super interesting. And I imagine others will be super interested in the behind the scenes of these products. Does that sound like a good thing? We're finally launching next week, which I'm super psyched about. We'll just go in from there. But this is, I feel like I know more when I talk with you. So it's really fun. And your products are cool. So
thank you.
Cool. Well, why don't we set up another time? I'm going to look at the video for the kiosk thing, and I'm going to make a mud mat and do some other stuff that you sent so we can talk about that. and let's set up another time to talk. And maybe we could do this like a once a month thing, and we can air it or something like that, so that we have.
Okay. Yeah. Will you send the invitation again?
Yeah, I totally will. That sounds great. And then anything you want to, if I think in terms of strategy, I have stuff already for the next one, and we can record it and then just send more stuff so that I can experience it before, because I think it's so much better when I've experienced it to have a conversation, because I have, you know, more interesting questions, and I don't know, it's cool. So,
okay, I'll take a look at what we sent you, and if I miss some things that I think are important, I'll get you another care package.
Cool. And then also we can send you, I don't know if you care, but we can send you a tax deductible write-off letter from Tulane, because you're sending it to a law school. So,
that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll send you a video, Elizabeth, on the kiosk.
Fabulous. Awesome. Cool. I will send you the invite, and this has been super fun, and you're in my thoughts because I'm sewing and using your tools all the time. So it's really great.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Fab. Have a good day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is Elizabeth Townsend-Gard. You've been listening to Just Want a Quilt, a research podcast coming out of Tulane University Law School. We want to hear from you. Join our army, our quilting army. Go to our Facebook page. Suggest people to be interviewed. Suggest yourself to be interviewed. We are excited to hear from you. But most importantly, I hope you get a chance to quilt today.